This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the preview show. It's Friday. Who knew? How does this happen? It doesn't seem like a week since we were sitting here. I am, of course, Stamford Chidge, and I am joined by the leg end that is Jonathan Kidd.
The leg end of the sofa.
Indeed. The leg end of the sofa.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what my mind's doing. Do you like my piano?
Yeah, man. I told you last week, you look like you've nicked Liberace's, kind of like winter pad or something. Is this what you've done?
It's the phasing out that's got me. I think we may have to get green screen. I think you're right, actually.
You're phasing out?
Yeah, look, at the top there, I'm going all black, you know, coming out of it, you know. Look,
I think I've just invested in a green screen.
Yeah.
You know, what difference it will make, we shall see. Only time will tell, JK.
But I've got one. I shall pin it up. So it's just you and me, Chidge.
It is. Yes, you have no guest to introduce this week. The absolutely beautifully formed Alex Churchill. I'm afraid she is, as she might put it, hors de combat. So she's not well, so she can't join us. So Alex, get well soon. We love you. So it is just me and JK. But we do have a packed show. We're going to kick off in a minute with JK's presser summary. Oh.
The pressure is on.
He watches it so we don't have to. And then we'll be joined by a lovely guy called Chris for Opposition View. He is from Leicester Till I Die, often heard on TalkSport. I did their show last night, which was great fun. So there we go. And we'll round up, of course, because we will be previewing Leicester versus Chelsea, which is Sunday's match, the FA Cup quarterfinal. How we love it.
Chelsea versus Leicester.
I said that.
You said Leicester versus Chelsea.
Did I? Oh, Freudian slip.
Yes, we're not away. Chelsea.
No, I know.
We're at home.
Don't split hairs, mate. Don't pick
holes. Right. Sorry.
We're playing Leicester on Sunday in the FA Cup quarterfinal. It's massive. We'll be talking about that later. And there you go. I think I should basically prattle on a little bit more before we get into it. Because, of course, as you should know by now, you can listen to this here show every Friday and Monday around the time of 7:30. And one of the ways you can do that, obviously, is you can watch us now. We are on, and look at this awful Chroma King. It's shit, isn't it? Anyway, it's YouTube. It's live streamed on YouTube. Live! And of course, on Facebook as well, our Facebook fan page, which is, you'll find, you know, if you want to find Chelsea Fancast anywhere, just basically go at Chelsea Fancast and you will find us. Anyway, the other thing you can do, if you're not near a screen, or you're at work and you want to listen to us surreptitiously, Mixlr is for you, and that's mixlr.com. But the actual URL for us is Chelsea fancast.mixlr.com. And many of you join in the chat rooms on both YouTube and Mixlr. And it's always lovely to see you in there talking so much sense, which, of course, is the perfect antidote to the nonsense that JK and I talk. So there you go. Shortly after this is finished, we will upload it as a podcast, which is where we started, which is really what it's all about. And that, of course, you can hear on Acast, Spotify, Apple, and all good podcast platforms. Of course, make sure you like, subscribe, and leave us a lovely, sexy, beautiful five-star review. The other thing you can do, of course, is you can join our Patreon group. I still don't really know how to even describe Patreon, but from what I can figure out, it's a website which you subscribe to and bung us money every month. It's almost like a kind of a... It's something that should be out of Sopranos. Maybe I'm just going to call it the VIG site. If I'm going to change it now, just to call it the Chelsea Fancast VIG site. So you have to give us a percentage of your earnings every month, or another horse dies. Basically, it's as simple as that. So anyway, if you want to do that, it's just a lovely way to say thank you and you support what we do, really. If you do that, you will get, if you want one, a mini Kerry Dixon banner. And also, of course, you can join the Discord group, which is like Mixlr 24/7 and is jolly good fun as well. Good people in there. None of the nonsense you get on the social media sites. Anyway, patreon.com/ChelseaFancast if you want to do all of that. Right. JK, you watched the presser, so I didn't have to. What happened?
Well, it was interesting that Win Stanley and Poch both went to Brighton last night, didn't they?
And what, was there a football match on?
Yeah, they were playing, was it Freiburg? No, that was West Ham. West Ham beat Freiburg 5-0. They did rather well. No, they were playing Roma. They were playing Roma and they lost. But that's right, they lost 4-1.
They got hammered 4-1, did they?
No, they lost 4-0 in the first leg.
Yeah, yeah.
So they won 1-0, rather good Welbeck goal. But
cocky fuckers, they deserve it.
I'll get onto that later. But I was intrigued as to why both Win Stanley and he were there. But onto that later. He was asked very early on at the beginning, was Chilwell ready to go? And because he's been called up by England, so obviously he's not injured. It's not much of a problem. And he put yes, fit, back to the training tomorrow in squad.
Seriously?
Yeah. For sure, excited about the England team, he said, being in the, which of course you would be, wouldn't you? Which interestingly got the set up a couple of questions about Sterling later on, but I'll get on to that. There were a lot of questions about Palmer in this because of him being called up. And he got asked a series of very stupid questions. I mean, what I can't stand about these press conferences, he never gets asked about tactics. He never gets asked about how the team is playing. It's always about a specific thing related to another story. So in this instance, Palmer, it came up, was at the beginning of the season. He just came from City. And was he just hoping to be in the team? Now the prospect of the Euros. And must be. And in fact, he gave an interview saying this was beyond his wildest dreams. He did a very good interview during the week, Palmer, as well as being asked by Sherwood. Did you see that bit? Tim Sherwood said to him, what's it like playing? Wouldn't you like some better players around you? Which was, I thought, was a pretty nasty question. Which, get in there. Yeah,
we need to do this a bit like the Houses of Parliament debates. I give way to the honourable member.
Absolutely. I give way to the honourable member.
OK. Or in my case, the dishonourable member.
In your case, the dishonourable member.
Yes, I saw that on Twitter, it has to be said. And I mean, I'm no lover of Tim Sherwood at all. I mean, he is clearly as thick as mince. He is as thick as fucking mince. You know, I mean, if that's the best they can do as a pundit, they might as well have my arse on there because it would actually talk more fucking sense.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, he just made himself look like a total prick. And I thought Palmer handled it excellently.
He did excellently. He said
he owned him, as they say in the trade. Yeah.
He said there are some amazing, amazing players around me, which was a really classy thing to say, wasn't it? Because he was being led to say something like, yeah, I wouldn't mind being with some better players or something, or yes, we'll see. He was almost pushing him to say I'd like a transfer. You know, that was the possibility of that.
But to Spurs.
Yeah, probably to Spurs.
Fuck off, Sherwood, you absolute twat.
But yes, no, he dealt with it very well indeed. He was asked this question, bizarre question. For you, what's the biggest growth area for him? And I was thinking, Poch won't understand what you're talking about. But but he came in with, we were talking a few days ago, and not surprised, he's showing great personality and character. To deal with pressure, playing for a big club like Chelsea makes him special. We have amazing players, but sometimes they struggle, he said. Well, I thought that was quite interesting to say that. But he copes well with pressure. The quality is there. So the admission from Poch that there are some of the better players that struggle, which I thought was interesting. But obviously, nobody is having a problem with Palmer because he is indeed displaying fantastic quality and is in the team. And Sterling isn't, but we'll get onto that later. And then the woman asked, the young lady, who actually normally asks pretty good tactical questions, well, the odd one or two, asked, how much can you help Palmer to force his way into the England midfield? And once again, I thought, this is another rather stupid question, isn't it, really? How do you answer that? How much can you help him to force his way into that England midfield? And he replied quite tactfully, he is convincing the England manager because his commitment is always 100% in every single appearance. And having fight and commitment helps. He needs to improve and challenge. And the challenge, oh no, sorry, I'm so sorry. He was then asked about Gallagher. Oh, this is about Gallagher. I'm so sorry, it's not Palmer. I've made a mistake. Terrible mistake. Everybody listening, pay no attention to what I said. The person then said, Connor, how much can you help him to force his way into that England midfield? It's about him. He is convincing the England manager because his commitment is always 100% in every single appearance and training. And he fights and commits and helps, always needs to improve. And the challenge is to score more goals, which I thought was an interesting thing for him to say. I thought he answered that very well indeed, because it was a bit of a crap question. How much can you help him to force his way into the England midfield? Bloody hell, get him to play better. But that's it. Anyway, that he was then asked, one game away from Wembley, success. He said, difficult to know here at Chelsea. Really odd thing to say, what it is to be successful. Sometimes the expectation is so high, sometimes so low. I don't know what he means by that anyway. Well, that's what I suppose it's when they're shit. The expectation is you're going to be shit next time. He said it's a great opportunity for the young team to play at Wembley again because I can't read my own writing. Between you and me. Ooh, well, it won't be between you and me, Poch. It'll be between everybody listening to it. Some players asleep the day before the final. What he meant was some players couldn't sleep the day before the final. And he said, to reach another semi is so good for us. To be in Europe through the FA Cup would be massive. And I don't know, Chidge, if this is correct, but is it that if we did get to the final, and the other teams had already qualified for Europe, would we get a place anyway? I think we would, as we did before in 1994. It's exactly what happened in 94.
The honest answer is I don't know, honestly, because they change it all the time. I mean, it's all been complicated by this. There's talk at the moment, isn't there, about a fifth Champions League spot up for grabs down to how well we've all done because they're changing the format. They're basically kind of trying to do, they're expanding the competition basically, aren't they, to try and stave off the idea of a European Super League. So the honest answer is I don't know, but I'm led to believe that if we win it, we'd get a European place.
Yes.
So therefore, probably in the conference. But if we come up against a team that's in the Champions League, I would imagine we would get a European place. So, yeah. But, yes. I mean, I stand to be corrected.
Yes, because then it was then we got the place in the European Cup Winners' Cup, didn't we, in 95. So, asked about Leicester. Leicester, good team, fantastic team, tough. They've done fantastic job, okay. He was asked about the Enzo Caicedo playing well, where they were gelling. And he said, it's all about time. But Enzo is suspended for Sunday. I mean, I'll be intrigued to see who's going to get in instead. But we are happy. but the expectation is big. Last week, you said you were going to speak to the club about the financial situation, he was asked. And he said, I did not speak. The big laugh. Everybody goes, as he does. We will see, did not have time. He was asked whether about Brighton, at being at Brighton. And here was, I think he lied, because he said, he was asked whether he was scouting.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a big accusation. He lied?
Yeah, I'm willing to
he
say.
He lied?
I'm willing to say that. I'm glad that you've caught me up here. I'm glad.
I am listening. I am listening. You don't think I listen, but I'm listening. I'm
no, because you type a little bit and you let
No, I was. I was. You know, well, can I tell you? We've kind of got a natural interruption.
Yeah.
James Yu said on, I presume, YouTube. He's obviously got his own platform. Tonight, hope you guys can make a comment about the London is Blue episode with Matt Law, especially a boot Chris Jurasek's comments. And I said, why, James? We've been digging Jurasek out for months. Good to see Matt Law has caught up. So typically adult, not pissy response from Chidge here.
Yes.
And then I wrote another one. And actually, funny enough, I'm glad I've got the opportunity to say it, because for some reason, well, YouTube rejected my comment. This usually means they think it's spam. Or actually, I've said something offensive. Actually, what I said, James, is I know. Oh, he said about not liking football and customers comment. But yeah, I guess you guys did make comments about it in the past. Never mind. Ha ha ha. I said, I know. I saw it. We've had meetings with Jurasek and we know what he's all about. I can't tell you as I'd have to shoot you, which is kind of true. So there you go. He's an absolute wanker. Nobody likes him at the club. The sooner he's gone, the better. He makes Ron Gourlay look like a legend. Enough. So he lied.
He lied, Chidge. He lied, Chidge. That's me going backwards in time, by the way. Because he was asked, you were at Brighton last night. Were you scouting for next month? Ha 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 ha, goes Potch. Everybody goes, ha 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 ha. I think it's not very funny, is it? He said, not in my job to scout. Ha, 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 ha. No, I wanted to go because 3 weeks' time we play Brighton in Brighton. Well, he's just been asked whether he's scouting, looking at the game. And I think there was a misunderstanding of the word scout, in actual fact, because what the bloke meant was, are you looking at Brighton in order to assess their playing? Whereas he thought it meant, are you getting any players? But I wouldn't put it past him to look at any players. And I think he was there for Roma players. And I think they, because he was with Win Stanley. Why would you go to watch a game just for the hell of it? And there are many opportunities to do that. And he says it was a good opportunity to watch live football. Well, you can do that whenever. There are lots of matches around the London area that you're not playing. You can go and watch. Why have you specifically gone to Brighton? That's why he lied, Chidge. That's why he lied.
Well, there are plenty of players for him to be watching.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. So not least, I mean, well, no, I mean, was Lukaku playing?
No.
Okay.
He wasn't. No, that would be interesting because there's a rumour that he will return. But he said, good to watch Roma.
Yeah.
But then he said, Brighton also. Oh, that didn't really, that, you know, it's as clear as mud. The interviewer said, the journalist said, Sterling out, no Euros. Have you had a word? And it's difficult to talk. We have to support him. Nothing will make him happy. Oh, dear. Trophies, yes. Trophies or players playing better. Are you after trophies or players playing better? And he then said this, which I found a bit peculiar. Success is down to owners and sporting directors. Most important, success is what the owners and sporting directors think. We arrive to work to help in a project completely different from any project in the past with this club, to create something different. The club is building here. We add our knowledge to create something different. So he's almost saying, no, we don't have to win anything, because he's just adding his knowledge to improving the club. Is this his remit? Is this what we've got wrong all along? We thought that he would be creating something that would do pretty well immediately. Or is it that he is there entirely for the future? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know what? In a way, he's kind of right. In a way.
But it suits him perfectly, doesn't it? Because he never wins trophies. And he can say, it doesn't matter. I see that.
But I mean, you know, would all of the managers we had under Roman win some? Well, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you know, without Roman's money and backing and everything else, we probably wouldn't have won half the trophies we did. And yet we had some managers who won lots and some who were incapable of doing it, even with Roman's backing. It's a very hard question to answer. I mean, maybe he's just being clever and taking the responsibility off his shoulders. Maybe he's deliberately putting it on theirs. I think it's difficult for us old farts, because we're not used to a world really where sporting directors, technical directors have more power and input than the managers. We grew up in a world where the manager was king. We grew up in a world where Brian Clough told the owners to fuck off if he didn't like what he wanted, you know, and so therefore it's probably difficult for us to get our heads around. And I think the biggest problem that we have as supporters generally in this modern world is that we never hear from the owners or the sporting directors. If they have that much input and influence over what happens at the club, particularly whether it's winning or not, they need to fucking talk to us. What's the plan, man? That's what we need to know. And we never get any of that. And I think that's absolutely incorrigible.
Do you think this Brighton business of going there, if he goes there with the purchasing gurus, the tactical gurus, not the tactical gurus, the stats, the data gurus, does it not point to a purchase? And if which case it would be a purchase for Poch rather than him having to implement another team completely.
It may be. I mean, I have no problem with him or anybody going to watch anybody if they think there's a player there that they might like to buy who's any good. What's more, you know, it depends who they're looking at. You know, if they're looking at somebody who's as shit as half the people they bought in, then they'll have a problem with that. But if they're looking at people who can do a job, I mean, we need some players who Poch has had an input in buying, because he's the one that gets them to play every week. And this is where I have this massive problem with owners and sporting directors who have too much input, because they're not the guys picking the team. They're not the guys training them in the week. They're not the guys that are trying to get them to play a certain way. So for me, it's a massive disconnect. I mean, again, I admit I'm an old fart and I'm used to it working a different way. But
it's not an owner. It's the tech group.
No, it's the sporting directors, isn't it? Yeah, I know. But anyway, we've got a couple of minutes. So how are you doing? Are you there yet?
You finished?
Oh my god! Okay, well that's pretty cool. Yeah, well carry on talking then. I mean, basically, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you know, this goes back to the disconnect in a sense that we have with Poch, because he doesn't speak English as his first language. So it's hard to establish whether he's actually being very clever or not, you know. I tell you what I would say of Pochettino, you know, having, you know, seen him in action in the presses over a long period of time. I think he's quite a diplomat, actually, on the whole. But I think you can tell that recently there have been signs that demeanour's cracking a bit. I mean, you know, we're told all of the time, aren't we, that, you know, he's an Argentinian, so therefore he's full of passion. You know, he really wants to kind of, you know, explode at any opportunity being an Argentinian. So there's a sense that he's kind of reining it all in. But I do think the demeanour cracks occasionally, you know, when he kind of, you know, wasn't too clever about what he said about the fans the other day. You know, he got a bit riled, I think, when everybody was saying he's going to get the sack. You know, you could just see it, you know, seeping out a little bit.
But did people say he was going to get the sack? Nobody's mentioned that.
But last week, all the journos were kind of intimating that he was going to get the tin tack, weren't they? They were trying to get a reaction out of him. I mean, James Yu, the aforementioned James Yu, third mention of you tonight. He says he seems more agitated in press conferences lately. I would agree with that. You know, I think he's, you know, I think he's taking the bait a little bit. Don't you? I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, as I said, what was it I said the other week? I said, if they'd have asked that to me, and I told them to fuck off, you know, because I don't have that filter where I sit there and behave myself and pretend that it's not affecting me. So there you go. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, I would disagree with that slightly, Chidge.
I don't think he has been as agitated. I think he's quite, he's been more laid back about things, actually.
I think more agitated than we have seen. And I think, as I said, what we have seen is a guy who's very calm and very diplomatic, very careful about what he says, make sure he doesn't offend anybody. I think we've seen that attitude penetrated a bit recently. I mean, I'm inclined to think that people who get into, you know, Pochettino's kind of positions are usually pretty clever people. You know, there's a reason why Tim Sherwood was a very awful manager, for example. You know, you need to be pretty bright to be the manager of a highly successful world elite club like Chelsea. You know, if you're a bit thick, do not apply. So I would be inclined, therefore, to give him credit that he can be a little bit clever in the presses with what he says. But as I said, I think it's difficult for us to sometimes read that because I don't think he doesn't come across as well as he might like because he's. I mean, if I was a fluent Spanish speaker, I'd be really interested to see his press conferences done in Spanish. Then you'd get a much better handle, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the same with Conte. You've got a completely different personality, didn't you? Because his English was laboured and it somehow gave him a passive quality that he didn't actually really have. It was because he was always struggling for the words. I don't get the impression Poch is struggling for the words. I just find that some of the questions today I thought were just a little bit weirdly complicated and he seemed to get the gist of it. So I was a bit confused as to why he got that, but on occasions can't get the most simple ones, or whether that's a deliberate ploy when he asks for a translation. So, or whether his English is getting better. I don't know. It could be that. It could be the more practiced in it, he's beginning to understand the nuances. But once again, it wasn't a press conference where people were asking ideal questions. I thought it would have been. And also, I'd like to have known more about who was available. They didn't bother to push that, whether that was in the second half that we didn't see. Because that's of interest, you know, to us if we're going to be watching it. Doesn't appear to be of interest to the journos who are just pushing their agenda, aren't they, completely, which is Palmer, England squad, which seemed to be very, very up in their heads. Connor and Palmer being the England squad and Sterling not, as opposed to the game on Sunday. There was only one question asked about it. What specifically will that mean for you? And in fact, they did go for him a little bit over the fact that a couple of the players had been asleep, could not sleep the night before. And he said, it's down to experience, down to the pain. Said he was, the pain will make them better and they will sleep next time. So he's looking for he's keen for them to win, get to another semi-final, have to go through that process again. And he thinks that's very good for their experience, which is fair enough. But he went, he said they're all youngsters. So perhaps that's now the angle he's going to come in from for the rest of the season. If when asked is I'm dealing with a very young side and I'm having to deal with that accordingly, because that's never been an excuse that I've heard from him particularly. He's just said it's tough. He's never found an excuse for their losing, which I think is quite, which has been a positive, really. But he's now saying, well, they're young and they need experience. Well, that's what we've all been saying all year. So.
Yeah, true enough. Hey, ho. Anyway, no sign of Chris yet, but it's not a problem because we have plenty of other stuff to talk about. One of which, of course, is the CFC UK fanzine, which, as you know, you can all buy for only £1. Hurry up. Now, there's a lovely black and white image of the current issue kicking around. There's some excellent articles in there, as always. Now, if you want to get a copy on a match day, it's easy. You just go and find the stall, the CFC UK stall, which is located opposite the exit to Fulham Broadway tube station. Alternatively, there are lots of sellers that are around in the vicinity, mainly Fulham Road, and you can identify them because they will be saying, "Hurry up, it's only a pound." Now, if you can't get to a game, do not panic. You can actually get either a hard copy of this or a digital PDF sent to you. If you want to have an annual subscription, you email fanzine@cfcuk.net. In the UK, that will cost you 20 quid. In Europe, 45 quid. In the rest of the world, 60 quid. The digital version is 6 quid, and you can pay all of that via PayPal. Now, the other thing you might want to know about, of course, is the wonderful CPO, the Chelsea Pitch Owners. Yes, indeed. Basically, what that means is you get to have a share of Chelsea Football Club. Well, the pitch, anyway. You'll own a bit of the freehold of the stadium. And there's enough of us, about 17,000 at the moment, which gives us a voice with the club should they wish to move away from Stamford Bridge, whether that be permanently or temporarily. But they can't just do it and then sell it to a developer or whatever they might do. Now, you can get one for 110 quid for an electronic share, about 175 quid for a share signed by a player. And the wonderful Mark Meehan sent me a text earlier on, if I can find it, telling us that the list that he's obviously been out to see Chris, is it? Here we go. He's actually put this on Twitter, I think. So if you follow Mark on Twitter, you'll already know this. But this is the list of shares that have been signed from the women's team: Jess Carter, Millie Bright, Hannah Hampton, Emma Hayes to follow. Men's team: Ben Chilwell, Connor Gallagher, Trevo Chaloba, Christopher Nkunku, Levi Colwell, Raheem Sterling, Cole Palmer. And Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez,
Moises,
Marcus Bettinelli, Jordi Petrovic, Alfie Gilchrist, Armando Broja, Wesley Fofana, Noni Madueke. Excuse me. Thank you.
So sorry.
Noni Madueke, Malo Gusto, Benoit Badiashil, and Roberto Sanchez. So, yeah, I mean, basically, all you have to do is go to the Chelsea website, which is Chelsea Pitch Owners, chelseafc.com/chelsea-pitch-owners, and email them at comms@chelseapitchowners.com and follow them on @pitchowners. There we go. Right, we will be coming up in a minute with the opposition view.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there, and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Now, welcome back. We have a slight technical problem. I don't seem to be able to get the Chris is here, but I'm going to have to remove some of the things. I've got too many things up, I think. So let me just try and do that and see what happens. And then I'll see if I can. Oh, he's there. See, I knew that would work. So let us welcome you to Chris in a minute. There you go.
Yeah, hello.
Evening, Squire. I'm sorry about that. I had so many graphics up that you were hidden from me. I couldn't see that you were there.
You were saying that, well, he's not turned up yet. I'm going like, hello.
I know. You were hiding. I don't know why.
It's just the big six and the rest of the football
team. Yeah. Actually, I know exactly what happened, Chris. You see, he had dropped down a tier, so yes. I couldn't actually see you.
Yes.
That
happens.
It's lovely to see you. I, of course, saw you last night. Now, I should welcome everybody back to the show. This, of course, is the Chelsea Fancast preview show. I am Stamford Chidge. I've got the wonderful Jonathan Kidd with me. There we go. Is that all I get? An ear?
Yeah.
Okay. And we've got the love now. As I said, this is a chap I spent a couple of hours with last night talking about the game. Here's the lovely Chris from Leicester Till I Die TV. And he has joined us for this.
The Opposition View.
He has indeed. Now, Chris, as I said, lovely talking to you last night. We had a lot of fun, actually. I kind of left that show feeling that I'd been really negative and depressing about Chelsea. And then I realised, oh, yeah, I had, hadn't I? But I'm not that worried.
You totally had. I mean, I'd predicted a loss last night, completely changed my mind after I'd spoken to you.
Well, there you go. Listen, luckily I don't have to relitigate all of that tonight. We get to talk to you about Leicester. First up, how's life been back in the Championship? It must have been, I mean, after the success you had, you know, obviously winning the Cup against us, obviously winning the Premier League thanks to us. it must be a bit depressing to find yourself back there. It's not really what you would have expected, is it?
We are not worthy, sir. We are not worthy. But no, thank you. Thank you very much for both of those particular triumphs. Look, it was on the cards. It had been coming. It wasn't like it was a great surprise. You know, we were watching Leicester every week. You could see the way it was going. You could see we were going down. You know, I think, you know, we were destined to go down more than the Titanic was. And it was just... It wasn't, because I wasn't upset. It just happened. That said, having dropped down, sometimes it's good to take a step back, and you need to do that to take a couple of steps forward. Would we have the squad, for example, we've got now if we were in the Premier League? Probably not, because there's probably some players that we had to let go because we had a lot of players on high wages that didn't deserve it, to be honest with you. And we may well have stuck with them. And if we'd stayed up, I think we'd have only just done an Everton and still been bobbling about at the bottom this season. But we've dropped back. And you know what? It's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic to be winning again.
But Chris, wasn't this a bit of a gamble? Because so many of your players, I mean, you're saying that they run too high wages, but some of them were very good. I mean, I remember watching the game we had. I think we was it the 3-1? Was it at your place? And you played very well. We were just very lucky to win it, I remember. And I was thinking, they don't deserve to be going down, this Leicester side. And it's always an enormous gamble to get rid of all those players who are earners, because you can always do a Norwich and nothing happens to you. You don't make any success. I mean, Norwich in the past have come straight up again with not a great team. But some of the players that you got rid of, I thought Tielemans was fantastic. Did he have a terrible season most of the time? I thought...
yes, he did.
He did.
In fairness.
Was it lack of effort, did you think? Was it like rather than...
His contract expired at the end of the season.
Right,
so we didn't
right.
For him, right. He wanted to go. He wanted to go to a Champions League club. We should have sold him. And the way that Leicester's model works is, every so often we sell a good player for a lot of money. You know, we did it with Maguire. We did it with our favourite Fofana. You know, every now and again, although that wasn't through choice. But you know, that's how we kind of, you know, fund. We don't have to sell, but it helps us go along. Now, we should have sold Tielemans before we did, but we didn't. We took the gamble of holding on to him, hoping that we'd get back into Europe. It was a roll of the dice that didn't work. But we've not exactly done the Leeds when they rolled the dice and they sort of just sank and sank and sank. When you look at the players we've got left, you know, or we let go, you know, the likes of Daniel Amati. I mean, yeah, he was okay, but nothing. We needed to get a whole new squad in. And when you look at the young players we've got in, I mean, you know, we'll probably let about 15 or so go, and we brought in 7 or 8. And those, yes, we lost Madison to Spurs. Yes, yeah. We lost Barnes to Newcastle.
Yeah.
You know, we lost Castagna to Fulham for sort of 12 million. That's £100 million worth of players that we got rid of there that we'd have probably lost if we'd stayed up anyway. You know, I can see Barnes and Madison don't think they would have stayed with us even if somehow we'd managed to stay up. And we did that early. We didn't hold out for, you know, 40 million apiece. Not bad business for a team that's just gone down. And we were able to let, when we got Enzo in, you know, let him do his business early because we'd got rid of them. We'd got the money in. We'd got rid of the, to be blunt, Deadwood. And, you know, it's a reset. And I'll tell you something as well. It is absolutely, it's proper football in the Championship. You want to try it sometime.
It does loom with us from time to time.
It is real football. And do you know what is fantastic? No bloody VAR.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, oh my God. I mean, we lost the other week when we lost to Leeds. We had our second goal was ruled out. It was onside, it wasn't offside, and VAR would have given that as onside. Would I have taken those 3 points to have VAR at every match? No, I bloody wouldn't. I'll take that loss. Thank you very much. It's fantastic. That ball goes in. You look at the linesman. He's got his keeping his flag down. You celebrate. Yeah, and it's brilliant.
We had that in the Caribou Cup, I think, for a few matches, and it was a joy. I mean, you know, you have lost a few players, and it is remarkable that you seem to deal with it. You know, and have always dealt with it very well, actually, in recent memory. But I mean, we've bought quite a few players off you recently. I mean, obviously, the three that spring to my mind, well, Kante, Chilwell, obviously great successes with us, and I would have thought big misses for you. Then also Drinkwater, the mysterious Danny Drinkwater, or as we used to call him, Danny Drink Vodka. And Wesley Fofana, who went. I mean, last night, those of you who haven't watched Leicester Till I Die from last night, I'm not saying this because I was on it, but clearly I'm saying it because I was on it. But it is worth a watch because there was a very funny moment when Chris put a photograph of Wesley Fofana up because he obviously wanted to have to dig him out and us out for stealing him. And I said, "Who is that? I've never seen that player before." You know, because we haven't really.
I did have a bit of a rant about it.
You did, you did. You wished death on him, as I recall. It was horrendous.
Said that I wished a deadly death or something like that, a permanent death. And then, how was it, a permanent death on him or something? And I went, but all deaths are permanent anyway.
Well, that's true.
I was choosing my... Look, like
does
I
it
say...
Give, does it give you the hump, though? Does it give you the hump when we buy your players or generally they go? I mean, or is it just a kind of an acceptance of this is really, you know, who we are, in a sense?
Look, you know, you know that picture where you've got the one bird on the top rung, then two underneath, and then four, and then eight, and they're all shitting on each other as it goes down? That's football, you know. As annoyed as we get with you, you know, I'm sure... Other teams below us get annoyed, you know, like, you know, Stoke when we took Soutar and Norwich when we took Madison. It's the way it is. And the thing with Fofana was the way he left. I don't want to really go all over it again, but he left us with a bitter taste in his, you know, in our mouth. Kante, look, you know, Kante nearly didn't come, to be honest with you, when we signed him. I think he was coming for Pearson, but then he got sacked. By the time he came, we got Ranieri. So I will take that season off him. Thank you very much. It hurt at the time because of the speed in which he'd done it, and the fact that he's, you know, the you know, his agent put his speech out to say thank you very much to Football Club Leicester, you know, which instead of Leicester City Football Club. And but Kante we loved. Chilwell, I like Chilwell, and he was, you know, England's left back, but a lot of the City fans just did not take to him. But fair play to him. I love him more because he didn't cut his toenails before the FA Cup final. about that. But and Drinkwater, I mean, he was one of our two midfielders. Before Kante came, we had him and Matty James. Mm. Matty James is the better of the two, but he got injured, and he was injured a hell of a lot, and he virtually missed the whole season. He's now playing his football down at Bristol City, and we wish him all the best. He was the better, but when every time he came back, he got injured and was out again. Danny Drinkwater wasn't that good. Kante made him look good. And honestly, I could turn up for Leicester against you guys on Saturday. If Kante was next to me, I'd look good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we used to call him the Kante twins, and there was a good reason for that. He's arguably one of the best players I've seen play for Chelsea, and certainly one of the most impactful. If you look at what we won whilst he was with us and how instrumental he was in that. And for
a lovely man. And once I got over, it was just the speed that he'd left. Yeah, he couldn't wait for the, you know, he took his free BMW off the owner and then drove off in it. But I love the guy. He's a lovely, lovely guy. And, you know, we used to say at Leicester, he could literally put a ball through to himself.
Chris, Jonathan and I saw him do that at Chelsea. Yeah. We absolutely saw him do that. Now, listen, there's another young lad that you've had on loan. We talked about him a bit last night. Now, the interesting thing, this is Cassidy. Now, there's a lot of boys on here, on the YouTube chat, thinking that he was... Because we talked about this last night. We didn't mention this, but they were saying that he was recalled to Chelsea because the sporting directors at Chelsea didn't think he was getting enough minutes. And yet you guys were telling me last night that he actually... I think he's played in 22 matches or something. And you were saying, why did he go back there? Because he's not getting any minutes. So there's a massive conflicting viewpoint here, isn't there? But what I'm really interested to hear, Chris, is what you thought of him when you saw him play, because we've seen very little of him.
He won us over in the first game because he scored on his debut and got us a win. When I say he's played 22 times, in fairness, he hasn't played 90 minutes 22 times. He was very much coming on. But you know, you've got Kieran Jusby-Hall, you've got Harry Winks, and you've got Ndidi when he's fit. So it's going to be hard to knock any of those, you know, out of a starting 11. Cassidy, he came with a huge, huge reputation. I mean, you know, look at what he'd done in the, was it the under 21 Euros?
21 World Cup. I thought it was the World Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah. He'd won everything. So he came with a big reputation. He didn't settle. And some players, when they come, take a while to settle. It's a new club, you know. The problem is that we'd signed two players in Fatawu and Mavadidi who literally, you know, we'd throw them in the deep end and they just swam. I mean, they became Olympic swimmers. So it made everybody else that we'd signed look a little bit, you know, Eunice Akgun. You know, they thought, oh, they're not very good. But we were comparing them to, say, the two wingers. That said, bigger than I thought when I saw him. He's quite a tall chap. Indeed, he got injured. And had you not recalled him, Enzo thought a lot of Cassidy, and he had started to pick him for regular games to fill that role that indeed he had played. And I understand it. All right, if Chelsea thought he wasn't getting the game time, I totally don't have a problem with that. That's why you loan players out. There's no point loaning a player out and he's sat on the bench all the time. But if they'd sort of asked us, and then Enzo would have said, well, yeah, now he's going to get the game time because Ndidi injured sort of thing, and he's only just come back as Ndidi. But if he'd then gone on and loaned him somewhere else. But you haven't. You've just got him sat. You know?
I don't think that was ever the reason. I think it was because all the midfielders were injured. And he was cover.
That's entirely what I thought.
entirely. I don't think there was ever a reason that he was recalled because he wasn't getting enough game time. It was entirely because they knew he was cup tied, but it was because Chukwuemeka and Okechogwu were both injured. And then if you've got Enzo Connor and Casado, they were the only three that were left. So that's entirely the reason he was recalled. That was my deduction from it. I didn't think it was anything to do with not playing.
He can't win a game time because he's had 30. Is it 30?
No. And I 26 games he played or something, didn't he? It was a huge number. You can't ever say
he played for us in one form or another, including cup games. Mm-hmm. And we could see that he had the ability, but you need regular game time for that ability to come through.
Totally right.
Wasn't quite getting it, but he was certainly getting more pitch time with us than he has done with you since.
Although since he's come back, Chris, he's come on for the last couple of games, albeit very late on. But there you go. Mm. Listen, looking at ahead to Sunday, I would imagine. Well, I'd be interested actually what the answer is this. I mean, you know, Chelsea supporters, as I said last night, we love the FA Cup. I mean, even when we weren't in it, even with a chance of winning it for 27 years, we loved the FA Cup. So for Leicester, is returning to the Premier League this season more important? But for the supporters, I mean, you know, is it more important returning to the Premier League or winning the FA Cup?
It's daddy chips, isn't it? But yes, of course, returning to the Premier League is the number one priority. Now, whether that is in first or second, you know, the main thing is to get second. And then anything above that, whether it's the points record or getting the trophy, is purely a bonus. Just getting promoted is it. But it's funny, we got knocked out of the Carabao Cup by Liverpool. We've been knocked out by a Premier League team. We live with that, you know. And if we lose to you on Sunday, I'm not going to be crying into my beer because it's a case of, yep, okay, we can now concentrate on the on the title running. Since we've gone from the games where it includes the word round to the words where it includes the word final, as in quarter final, suddenly it's like, yeah, we want this. Mm. We would have loved to have had Coventry. We always get Chelsea or Man City, so it was always going to be one of you two guys. Glad it wasn't Manchester City. And no disrespect to you, but if we're going to get one of the big boys, I would have wanted it to have been you purely because of your form this season. And I don't mean that disrespectfully.
Chris, it's not. It's reality.
You think we're shit. It's because of last night. Because of last night, you were so down, weren't you, last night?
I was a bit, actually. But no, I was being honest. As I look, mate.
We were trying to be nice to him, but
They were lovely to me. They were lovely to me. But I was being what I am, JK, I'm honest. I call it as I see it. And there are many things that are not right with this club at the moment. And I was very, very frank about it. But I was also, you know, I said good things too. I said, you know, about the Villa game. Anyway, I'm not going to relitigate last night's show. Listen, Chris. What I'm really intrigued about, because you'll know this far better than me, because you've obviously watched Leicester every game this season, and I haven't. It's very intriguing for us as Chelsea supporters because we tend to do better against teams that come and have a go at us unless they have the temerity to back it up by scoring, at which point we crumble. But if we're faced with a team who basically plays with 10 men behind the ball, we sit there scratching our heads and pass the ball from side to side. So I'm intrigued as to how Leicester are going to approach this on Sunday.
We're not going to be all gung-ho at you, that is for sure. The style of play that Enzo employs, you won't be surprised, is not a million miles away from the style of play that Pep employs. And so you've got a huge sort of, I mean, I think...
Big press as a consequence. A big press all the time. Is that what takes place? You're saying?
No. We pass it around at the back a lot.
Oh, okay. And then boot it down the pitch and run after it.
Well, funny enough, we've got Vestergaard, who has been a bit of a joke at Leicester since we signed him, but bloody hell, he can pick a pass out.
Yeah.
He could put that ball on a sixpence from the halfway line. And he, you know, we will come forward, but we won't come gung-ho at you. You know, we will be passing it around. You will see us at some point, you know, our central defender in the centre circle, but we'll be inviting you on to us. And then once we see that space, it's over the top. You've got the two wingers bombing down the side. Oh, well, if they're on their form, will cause you so many problems.
Which are those? Which are those two, Chris? What are they?
Mabedidi and Fatawu.
Okay, because Vardy's injured, isn't he?
Is Vardy not playing?
No.
Delightful, because you were saying last night, Craig was saying he's a good big game player, and I was worried about that because he's a good player.
I did my team on another Leicester channel earlier, and I included Vardy, and somebody said, oh, no, they've just announced on the press conference he's injured. That's the problem with a 37-year-old, you know. You get twinges that 21-year-olds don't. That said, we've got Kelechi Iheanacho, who loves the FA Cup. He's our top scorer in the FA Cup. Can handle the pressure, scored the winning goal in the Community Shield against Manchester City from a penalty spot in the 89th minute. So not too worried about that. But, you know, yeah, we will try and hold on to the ball at the back. Like I say, invite you on to us, look for the gaps, and then Vestergaard would, as I say, don't know where this player's been hidden for two seasons, because the last two seasons, mind you, that was because we had a shit manager, but... ping it over, pick somebody out, and if your defence is as bad as you say it is, it could be a very interesting game.
Okay, right. Now, JK?
No, I just want to say the fence, what Chidge isn't, it's obviously given you a picture that has lulled you into a terrible false sense of security, because the reality is that it's when we try to pass the ball out from the back when you're pressing. But if you don't play a pressing game, they'll think it's great, and they might then have an opportunity to express themselves. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Chris, have you changed your mind from last night? I mean, last night you said we would win 3-1, I think. So
3-2, I went.
Oh, you went 3-2. I do.
It was 3-1, but on the fact that you said it was your defence was shite, I went 3-2. And I just say, all I will say is for Chelsea, this is just a game to go and watch your future signings, isn't it? Really?
Oh. Well, I mean, yeah, we were moaning a minute ago, or not moaning, but remarking on the fact that Pochettino was scouting at Brighton versus Roma the other night. So at least he can deny that he's scouting on
Sunday.
He can
scout in your own dugout.
He has to be there. Are you coming along, Chris, on Sunday?
Unfortunately not, no. Can't get a ticket. But we have a very, very good... I was at Bournemouth, but I can't make this one, unfortunately. I've never been to Chelsea, so maybe one day. Look, my heart says one thing and my head says another. And the problem is it's an FA Cup and anything can happen on the day, you know. I still think you will probably beat us, but I've got to go with my own team on an opposition channel. I've got to go 2-1 to Leicester.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, and... I just hope that we don't embarrass ourselves and it's something like 5-6-7.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't see that happening at all. Well, we will find out on Sunday. Sorry that you're not going to be there. It's on ITV, I think, isn't it?
BBC.
So there you go. Yeah. Well, enjoy it with a beer or two watching it on the telly.
Are we doing a watch along anyway?
So... Oh, will you? Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We do watch alongs for all the games.
We did that once, and we were so rubbish at it that we never did it again. Because
it's hard to commentate. It is an art, and I just stumbled through it.
We were too emotionally engaged, and we just forgot that there were people listening and watching within about 5 minutes, and it was hilarious TV.
But that's the best way to do it.
We said, "You dirty bastard! Look at that! Oh, terrible! Look at that! Wow! Oh God! Look at that!
You can do that
anyway.
That moan about the referee." Forget the people. That's the best. They're the best ones.
Well, I know. Maybe. Anyway, listen, Chris, it's delightful to see you again. I hope we see you next season when Leicester get promoted back to the Premier League.
fingers crossed. I mean, I don't wish you luck at the weekend, obviously. But if you do beat us, good luck. You need a win in a cup at least now, don't you?
Well, we do. I think we do need this. So there you go. All right, my friend. I wish you luck for Sunday, but obviously I hope Chelsea win. And hopefully we'll see you next season. But thanks for joining.
Fingers crossed. Take care, guys. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Excellent.
Brilliant. Well, that's the lovely Chris from Leicester Till I Die, which can be found on all the usual platforms. We're following him on Twitter. You'll see him there too. And of course, like us, they do YouTube as well. So there you go. Great stuff. Right. We will be back in a very short while to do our preview of Chelsea versus Leicester. Do not go away.
Fans, real opinions. I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
There we go. Welcome back. I'm Stanford Chidge. This is the Chelsea Fancast. And he is Jonathan Kidd.
Hello.
Good to see you, old bean. This is time to do our preview of the Chelsea Leicester game. Now, JK, we need to get our skates on because I've got to be on Talk Sport at 9 o'clock. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness me. You never
forgot
told
to tell
me.
You that. I know.
I wonder why we were rushing. Blimey.
I know. Indeed. And the worst news, of course, is that we've got a They Played for Both tonight, which on average takes about 50 minutes to get through.
Oh, my God. Okay, you may just have to make them all up for me.
So we'll go straight to the predictions. We'll go straight to the... No, yes, no, we won't. We're going to go straight to this because I know how much you love it.
I do. Oh, I love it. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, wow. Great. There it is.
There you go.
Wow.
Chidge's team selection versus Leicester, as Todd Bowley no doubt calls it. Right. So here we go. I've got Petrovic in goal, obviously. He'll probably pick Sanchez, obviously. After Cucurella's... I mean, I didn't think Cucurella was too bad, actually, to be fair, against the Toon. But, you know, I'd rather he played Gilchrist either as the left back or the right back and have Gusto as either the left back or the right back. I'm perfectly happy to a degree with Chaloba and De Zerzi as our centre-back pairing on the basis that Silva's old and Badia Shiel and Colwell are still not fit, I believe. This is where it gets interesting because we know that Enzo Fernandez is suspended, so we know he cannot play. So this is where it gets interesting. I mean, you could play Chukwuemeka. You could play Cassidy. I've gone for Gallagher.
Cassidy is cup tied.
Oh, right. Thank you, JK. So you can't. So there we go. So basically, you've got a choice of playing either Chukwuemeka or Gallagher. So for me, it depends on who else you want to play. So when you hear what I have to say, you'll understand why I've picked Gallagher in Enzo's position to go and partner Caicedo, not least because they've done it before. Losing Enzo effectively frees up a place in the midfield. Or kind of as a number 10, really. I know Enzo's not a 10, but if Gallagher's not playing number 10 and he drops back to the number 8 or 6 position, then I'm going to do what I did last week, which is to say, look, start Mudryk in this kind of number 10 role where I think he is more effective than he is when he's out on the wing and doesn't know what he's doing. So I would go Gallagher, Caicedo, and then Mudryk is the number 10. Jackson on the left, because I think he's, again, much better in that position rather than being played in the front, which is what Poch tends to do. Palmer in his kind of floating number 9 role, because he can play anywhere and he's bloody marvellous. Which, again, you know, there's a space going on the right, which I suspect Poch will play Sterling. Oh, my God. I would take a punt on Madueke, and I'm no Madueke fan. I mean, he's raw, he makes mistakes, he's in and out of games, da-da-da-da-da. But I still think that he has flashes where he is more effective than Sterling, and he's young, and, you know, why not? Look, I'd give him a go. I say this every week. Poch never does. There's probably a reason for that, which might be that he's shit. But I'm prepared to take a risk with Madueke because I just think that Sterling stinks the place out. He's a lovely, lovely human being. I've said it once. I will say it again. But I just do not think he's the wrong player at the wrong time for Chelsea Football Club. So there you go. That's my team, JK. What do you think?
That's your little team there.
That's my team for Sunday. St. Patrick's Day, in fact, isn't it?
It's coming up. That's right. Let's hope we're playing well on the day of the...
Paddy's Day.
The Leprechauns.
Or Guinness Day, as we like to call it on the Chelsea fan game.
Indeed, we do. Guinness with a shot, I think. Isn't that the way forward?
Yes, that was Pompey the other week, wasn't I? I regretted that. Yeah. Yeah.
You were battered then, weren't you? How battered
were you? Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you remember, he played Madueke against Villa, and he played a kind of FA Cup team. You know, he played a couple of people who didn't normally play. And we played out of our skins because he had a plan, didn't he? But the plan also included Chilwell. Now, he made some sort of strange remarks, didn't he, about Chilwell in the press conference, what I told you did, saying that he was available. And he was, and I wonder, because somebody then said, well, obviously the injury wasn't too bad. And he agreed. And he said he was excited to be back training because he's training with the squad. Now, from previous experience, I'm not convinced he'd take a chance on him because he likes to have people that have been injured. They missed a couple of games. He doesn't give them a go. But I think he might sneak in from the beginning. But if he doesn't, I don't think he'll play Gilchrist, Chidge. I think he'll play Cucurella. Because Cucurella, other than his error at the end, trying to intercept the ball, was a filthy bastard the other day. He was the snarling...
Snarling poodle.
It was
poodles can be a bit snappy, actually. So
The rabid poodle. Yeah. But I think it's one of the two there. But also, if you remember, he played Sanchez before in the cup.
I know.
So, as you said, he may very well... give him another go. I hope he doesn't, because then we're going to be subjected to the bizarre passing the ball back. But if, as Chris said, there is no pressing from them, that's why I asked him for that. You know, he said, no, they don't. They press further back. Well, in which case, they may have it easy to pass the ball at, because I think they do that thing of actually just pressing further up the pitch, which to some extent is what Poch does. And the reason Poch does it is because he doesn't want to commit in case the holes are left for the better passing opposition to get through. That's why Poch doesn't press. I worked this out, by the way, the other day. Doesn't press as much because he wants to be able to hold the line so people don't pass through the team, which, of course, isn't the way that Liverpool or Man City play. That's why I got slightly confused by Chris saying, you know, that they didn't, when he said they play like Pep and they tap it about from the back. I was thinking, well, no, actually, they do that with a massive press at the same time. But anyway, but ultimately, if they're just going to hang around and play the ball long, he'll have been very aware of this, I hope, Poch. He'll have worked out. He'll have the quickest players available, of which Cucurella is one of the quicker ones. And I don't think Gilchrist will sneak in there. Chalaban Desazi, because there doesn't appear to be anybody else, does there, at the moment? And Desazi, as we've established, is a unit, but he's liable to the odd rick here and there, especially if he's given the ball third pass down the line in the corner. He just gives the ball away. I don't think he'll play Madueke, even though I would play him because that's what he did against Villa. I think, as you've suggested, Chidge, he might play Sterling. I think he'll play Sterling again because Sterling, apart from his complete lack of, he doesn't seem to be as interested, does have the odd moment. And I think he'll play him for the odd moment. So I think actually he'll play Sterling on the left. He'll play Jackson up front and he'll play Palmer on the right. And I think he'll actually play Chukwuemeka rather than Mudryk. But I think Mudryk will get on because we have to give it to the boy. The goal the other day was fabulous. I mean, really, top banana goal. Yeah. But once again,
it's an outstanding goal. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt so pleased for him because, you know, despite our writing people off, we write people off because of despair, the fact that they don't seem to be putting in a shift. But, you know, if somebody does something like that, you're always keen for the player to do well. You know, it's like I'm pleased that Jackson has gotten positions to score because he's not being the complete waste of space he was when he played against Luton, where he just seemed incapable. You think, all right, some progress is being made. But, you know, I get worried about Poch's substitutions as the game goes on. Depends on the state of play with the game. You know, we could have put it out of, the game could be finished if we score a couple of quick goals. But as you mentioned, who was the guy you mentioned, the very good player for them, who played very well against us season before last, their striker.
Iheanacho,
yeah. Very quick. And if they've got these two wingers, they've really got to be on the case for a long ball and a break, which is what Liverpool tried to do against us all the time in the Carabao Cup. Because that's one of the ways that Liverpool play, is they'll suck you in, big long ball. And he's just saying that's the way that they play. Okay, we've got to be prepared for that. But Gallagher obviously will play, as will Casado. But I would agree with you, Chidge. I would play Mudryk, but you know, I don't think he will. I think he'll play.
I agree.
Play one of the others.
I think you're absolutely, you've nailed it. He'll play Cucurella instead of Gilchrist. He'll play Chukwuemeka instead of Mudryk in that role, and he'll play Sterling instead of Madueke. And he'll play Jackson.
But I would hope, but I would agree with you. I would like what you've done. I think he should play Madueke instead of Sterling.
He should always pick the same team as me every week.
Yeah, everyone.
I'm
also
a better manager.
You're a better manager. And also Sterling is actually beginning. He completely pisses everybody off because of his bizarre selfishness and lack of commitment. And, but there we have it. And he needs to be sold in the summer. I've said it. I don't care.
There's some great statistical analysis, easy for me to say, that I'm going to let you in on now. There are 9 straight competitive games that the Blues have failed to shut out an opponent as their defence remains slightly rudderless, according to our score. If we get into the semi-final, we'll be reaching the semi-final in 5 of the last 7 campaigns, which is pretty impressive. We've beaten Leicester in 7 of the last 8 FA Cup clashes between the two. The only exception, of course, in fact, the last time we lost to Leicester was in the final in 2021, where we were beaten by VAR and them not giving Tielemans as a foul. Leicester, in spite of the fact that they're top of the championship, they've only got 1 win in their last 5 league games. So they've drawn 1 of them and lost 3 of them. But they've got 4 straight wins away in the FA Cup. So they're pretty good playing away. As far as Leicester against Chelsea are concerned, they've only won 1 of their last 13 competitive away games against Chelsea, drawn 4, lost 8. But each of the last 6 meetings in that run did finish level or was settled by a single goal. So it'll be tight, possibly. We know Vardy's out, which is great news for us. Fine player,
Chidge.
Well, particularly as he scored 8 goals in 9 competitive appearances since he came back from injury, 5 of which were after half time when we tend to concede. So I'm glad he's not going to play. Chelsea have lost just 1 of their last 21 FA Cup home games, 118, drawn 2. And our cup record against Leicester is fascinating. Goes back as far as 1920 when we beat them 3-0. We drew 1-1 at home in 46 and then beat them 2-0 away in 1946 in the replay. We played them twice in 1997 on the way to winning it. Or did we win it that year? Yes, we did win it that year. Leicester, we drew with them 2-2 and we beat them 1-0 at home. And of course, there's the famous Frank Leboeuf penalty in that match, wasn't there, JK?
And there was Erland Johnson's non-foul, wasn't there?
Yeah. We beat them in 2000 when, guess what? We won the FA Cup again. That was 2-1. And we beat them 5-2 in 2012. Torres scored a hat-trick, as I recall. 5-2. And guess what? We won the FA Cup that year. We beat them 2-1 in 2018 away. I don't think we won the FA Cup that year, did we? In 2018, we've won so many, I can't remember now. Jay, can you remember?
No,
JK?
I don't think we did. I don't think we did.
It was 2017, wasn't it? With Conte.
Yeah.
It might be in 18. Anyway, somebody on here will remember.
17.
But anyway, we beat them again. And in 2020, we beat them away again, 1-0. And then, of course, we lost in the FA Cup final, which is rather annoying, the COVID Cup final. I was trying to convince the Leicester boys last night on their show that winning the COVID Cup final doesn't count because nobody was there. They weren't having any of it. I can't think why. I know you were. I know. Not many people were able to get tickets, were they? Anyway,
no.
Here's the thing. You know, the FA Cup is still massive for this football club and certainly for the supporters of this football club. We love the FA Cup. I mean, I would love to win it again. I do wonder, since the takeover, if they really understand how special the FA Cup is. I mean, frankly, I'm sure they'll be desperate to win anything at the moment. So I don't think that's an issue. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, as far as playing Leicester go on Sunday, JK, I have a sneaking suspicion it will boil down to who wants it more. And I do have a feeling that Leicester have got one eye on coming back to the Premier League. I have a suspicion they might not quite be as on it as they might be. And this is our last chance for silverware this season. I'm hoping, all things being equal and normal, that the team and the management realise this and are really on it, because it will mean more to them. So I'm kind of hoping that that's how it will pan out, to be honest. What do you reckon?
Well, I think they've got four injured, haven't they? But not that that means anything, because we've not done very well against teams with even 13 missing. But once again, Chidge, who knows anymore? You know, we could turn up and be wonderful. We're against Villa. We could turn up and fall apart, but still win, as we did against in the last round. Who did we play in the last round? My mind's gone.
Leeds
against Leeds, where they were playing better than us, and yet we scored a good goal at the end. So I think home advantage is great for us, because, as you say, there is this history of beating them, and I think we'll rise to the occasion, and I think we'll beat them, you know. But having said that, all it needs is a couple of ridiculous errors, and then, you know, it'll be just a question of you know, if we then play as if we can't score, which appears to be something we seem to be very capable of doing as well, it'll all go tits up. But, you know, who knows? Once again, so yeah,
it's a hard one to call. I mean, I think it'll be tight. I think both teams will score. We know we can score now. We also know we can let them in. So I'm going to go for the classic. I really have no idea how it'll end out. So I'm going to go 2-1.
I think we'll win 3-1, Chidge.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that. I really wouldn't. You know, we'll see. We'll see come Sunday. We'll see. Let's hope we're right.
We might be 3-0 up and then they score two, and then it's, you know, it's sort of, you know, squeaky bum for the last 10 minutes or something.
It could be like the Leeds game. Although I think that Leeds did have a go at us, and I don't think Leicester will, from what Chris was saying. So that might make it tighter. That's why I'm going 2-1. But we will see. Now, it's time for a very quick rendition of They Played for Both.
They played for both.
Yeah, I like that. We still need that sting, JK. Right, 30 players. 30 players have represented.
30?
30 players have represented both Chelsea and Leicester during their careers. You've got 6 minutes to get all 30. I'm going to time limit this one. Now, I reckon before you start this, you should get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, God.
6, 7.
Oh,
8,
God. Oh,
8,
God.
8, 9, 10.
Oh, God.
11, 12 are those that you should get. There's a lot you'll know on here. There are a few that you will not have a Scooby with, which Nathan's very kindly given us some background info on. So off you go, starting now.
Chilwell.
Yes.
Birchinal.
Yes. Well done. Well done.
Cassidy.
Yes.
Steve Kemba.
You know what? Cassidy is not on this list.
Well, it's
He is. No, I couldn't see it. He is. Cassidy, yeah.
Steve Kemba.
Yeah. Oh. Like that. Extra points for that.
That's it, Chidge.
Is that it? It can't be it.
I can't remember anybody else.
Come on. There'll be one you know. You used to sing his song in about 1970, 71.
Of course. He went from Chelsea to Keith Weller went from Chelsea to Leicester for 100,000. Well done. Good cue. Good clue. Okay. Keith Weller. And for people listening anywhere, Weller was a fantastic player and they just sold him because they needed the money. And it was, the heart sank, you know, because he won the European Cup. Sorry, we need to get this quickly. You've only got 9 minutes.
Yes, we do. There are 1, 2, 3 very recent Chelsea players that you haven't mentioned.
Oh, God.
I mean, we mentioned two of them, three of them tonight in the show.
Kante.
This is like a generation game. Kante
and Drinkwater and Fofana. Yeah.
Well done.
Sorry.
There's another one on here who is Jason Cundy's best mate and probably the best scorer of an own goal you've ever seen.
Frank Sinclair.
Very good.
Very good clue, Chidge. Excellent. Well done.
We have Kerry's partner in crime.
Speedo, did he play for Leicester?
Yeah, he did.
I don't remember that at all. Blimey.
We've got a player who probably scored arguably one of our most famous goals ever and was also our manager. Not at the same time, I hate
Roberto Di Matteo?
No.
He scored one of our most famous goals
ever.
Dennis Wise went there.
He did. Yeah. He did, but it's not Dennis Wise that I'm talking about, but you get a point for Dennis Wise.
I get a point for Dennis Wise.
One of the most famous goals ever scored in extra time, not at Wembley, at Old Trafford. And he managed us.
What, David Webb?
Yes, David Webb.
He went to Leicester, did he?
He did.
Yeah, okay.
So who else should you get? 70s striker, blonde haired. He'd go down well in Hawaii. And he's not called Aloha.
What, Joe Allen?
No, if you went to Hawaii, they would offer you up him.
A coconut?
No, it's not Chris Coconut. It is Chris Garland.
Oh, of course he did. And he wore... That's when they had the white flashes on the shoulders, and I've just remembered him.
Now,
in that
this
outfit.
This guy was a defender who I, for some reason, I always thought he was the psycho killer in the States, but the name spelled slightly differently. I don't think you'll get it, Jeffrey Broomer.
Yes, well done. Yes, yeah, no, I do remember because he went to Watford, I think, as well, didn't he? Play at Watford.
This guy was a brilliant defender for us, but he never really cracked it with us. But he was probably more famous for getting done on Twitter for cock or no cock. Those that know will know what I'm talking about. And he had to apologize. And he was German.
Ooh, that's it's good, Chidge. It's nudging a variety of
Robert
things.
Huth.
Of course, Huth, because Huth was there when they won the sodding title, wasn't he?
Exactly right. I mean, we are running out of time, and JK's run out of options. So I'm going to run through the.
Tell me them.
Alan Birchnell, he got Sid Bishop, 1928 to 32,
109. Sid, oh God, Sid.
109 appearances, 6 goals, England international, 1927, 4 caps, 1 goal. Ron Brebner, no idea. Ryan. Jeffrey Broomer. David Calderhead Jr., 1906 to 13, 19 appearances, 0 goals, 3 clean sheets, Olympic Games 1912, Stockholm, 1 gold medal with Great Britain. He tragically died in 1914 as a result of a head injury whilst playing Leicester Foss 3 months earlier. Fucking hell, that's mad. 1911 to 1914, 43 appearances, 1 goal. I thought when I saw David Calderhead that they were talking about our future, you know, what he managed the club, didn't he, in the 20s?
Yeah.
So it must have been his dad, I suppose. Anyway, Cesare Cassidy, we know about. Ben Chilwell, Cole de Silva, youth team, 2012 to 18. Danny Drinkwater, Wesley Fofana, Chris Garland, Michael Jilks. Percy Humphreys, 1908 to 9, 46 appearances, 13 goals, England international, 1903, 1 cap. Robert Huth, Muzzy Is It.
Oh, Muzzy Is It. Oh, bloody hell.
William Jackson, 1928 to 31, 26 appearances, 6 goals. Freddie Jenkins, 1950, 5 appearances. N'Golo Kanté, you got Steve Kember, you got Ian McFarlane, 56 to 58, 43 appearances. You might have remembered him. Bob Mackie, 1905 to 7, 48 appearances, 1 goal. Although an outfield player, he played one full FA Cup game in goal and kept a clean sheet. Dennis Roaf.
Yes, should have remembered him. Yeah. Should have remembered him. Yeah.
Mark Schwarza.
Never played well for us. And, of course, Schwarza, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Top
Buchanan, Buchanan Sharp. Great name.
Sharpie. Yeah. Sharpie.
1920 to 23, 72 appearances, 23 goals. Frank Sinclair, you got. David Speedy, you got. Patrick Van Aanholt.
Yes.
I've forgotten about that. David Webb, Keith Weller and Dennis Wise. So you didn't do too badly. Now, massive thanks go out to Paul Carter. And in his fabulous website, stamford-bridge.com. And, of course, you can find Paul on Twitter at stamford_bridge. Check out the Chelsea Heritage Group as well, which is at @CFC_heritage and chelseaheritagepartnership.com. Right, that is about all we've got time for, literally, tonight. Now, you may have noticed, some of you, the more eagle-eyed of you, have noticed that I've been sporting this beautiful T-shirt, the Conor Gallagher, Chelsea Fancast Conor Gallagher T-shirt. If they sell Conor, we riot. Indeed, that's what we will do. You will be able to buy these very soon. We're going to put it on the website, and you'll be able to buy them via PayPal. And I will be releasing details of that imminently. But there are more T-shirts than just this one. There are also mugs like this. You might have seen that the other week. So we'll be selling these with this love. Look at that. It's fucking beautiful. I love it. If they sell Connor, we riot. Do you like that, JK?
Wonderful.
It is, isn't it? So there you go. Details will be announced soon, probably this week. So you'll be able to, you know, put some orders in and get them. There'll be more of this as well. There's another three T-shirt designs you'll be able to grab your hands on, and mugs to go with it. So look out for that. Right, we'll be back on Monday with me, JK, and Marco. Lovely Marco Worrell. Yep. Yes, indeed. 7:30 p.m. we'll be here, and we'll be reporting back on the match against Leicester. A quick reminder, we may well actually do an in off the post next Friday. So if you want your email or other message or whatever read out on the show, let me have them ASAP. Email address is chelseafancast@gmail.com. You can follow the show on all the social media at Chelsea Fancast, me at Stanford Chidge, Jonathan at Jonathan Kidd. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jonathan, first of all, for being brilliant as always. Absolute legend.
I could always improve, Chidge. Always.
I always leave room for improvement. Always leave the audience wanting more, JK. Yes. Right. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea.
Up the Chelsea! How are you, blue boys? Pick it up, then.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.